Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
This is Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 65, Jeremy, 65. And we are continuing our Loose Deuce series of spin-off sequels. Correct?
Yep.
We are doing the spin-off to the 1993 classic Fugitive called U.S. Marshals. And it was brought in 1998,
yes.
98, right? Yeah. This movie opened in March of 1998. It opened to number two at the box office, Jeremy. It was not number one, of course. Number one was a movie that had been in the movie theater for about 3 months at that time called Titanic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, you know. There was that whole time where Titanic was just raking in the money for James Cameron. So, what do we know about this movie? Besides, it is sort of a spin-off sequel.
Yeah.
You would say. Not quite a sequel, but a spin-off.
Yeah, it's very much a spin-off. So, it focuses really on the character of Gerard.
Gerard.
Deputy Gerard.
Sam Gerard.
Sam Gerard, yes. And his...
played by Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
In the Academy Award winning role.
Yeah.
That he won in for...
Yeah.
The Fugitive.
And he was great as the Deputy Marshal Gerard. Yeah. So, and it's got his team again. Joe Pantoliano.
Joey Pants.
Daniel Roebuck. LaTanya Richardson.
Actually, she wasn't in... I don't think she was in the other one. No, I don't think she was in The Fugitive. I actually looked that one up.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. I don't think she was.
She's like our generic CCH pounder.
Yes. What'd you call her? CCH Whopper?
CCH Quarter Pounder?
Oh, Quarter Pounder. Yeah, that's a better joke. Sorry. Yeah. they're fine. These are fine characters. And then we bring in a new character.
Yes.
To the mix, played by Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
So he is in this movie as well. Also, Lester Holt shows up in a cameo.
Yeah.
Before Lester Holt was on NBC, he was a news reporter in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's where the movie starts off. And he was in the first one, too.
He had a mustache.
He had a very prominent mustache. It was really, it was kind of creepy in a way, you would say, right?
You just don't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't expect it.
What did you think? Better or did it look better with or without the mustache?
Without.
Yeah, Lester Holt
younger without, kind of in a way.
I think so too.
Do you know what I mean?
Some people are okay with it. Lester Holt,
like when
without.
Trebek shaved it, and I'm like, no,
put that back.
Put that back, Trebek. Your Double Dare days, Trebek. Let's get that mustache going. All right, and look that one up because that's a weird reference. But anyway, go ahead. Were you going to say something about this movie? Or do you want to pause for commercial identification?
I think we should take a quick break here real quick just so we can...
I'm trying to be more professional.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everyone does. So
no, they don't.
Well, as you've heard us say here many times in the past, we are proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network. The No Phony Podcast Network has, what do we have, 25 different shows that are part of it?
Sure. They're all my friends.
Yes. We are all a close-knit group. Actually, they're a great group of folks. We
meet at Central Perk every day and talk about podcasts.
We do. Yes. that episode when, they're a great group. They have all sorts of things to offer. So different types of podcasts, ranging from sports to politics, to music, to video games. There's just everything out there for you. So definitely go peruse the network. At nophonynetwork.com, just check out what they have there. It's definitely worth a look.
Right.
See some of the other things. You know, listen, rate them, all that kind of stuff.
You'll thank us later.
I think, definitely get out there, check it out. But until then, after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Do you know what I hate, Bex?
What's that?
Movie trailers. Seriously, we go to the movies, we pay a shit ton of money to go and actually see the movie, and then I've got to wait 10-15 minutes to watch like 7 or 8 trailers for movies. Some of them I don't give a shit about, some of them I do, but I've seen them like 18 times on YouTube already. I don't want to see it, just play the goddamn movie!
But isn't that what this is?
What?
Isn't this like a trailer for our podcast, Gareth's Random Ramblings, that we try and do every single week? That you can find on Spreaker and iTunes, or you can check out on garethsrandomramblings.space.
You know what? I love trailers, they're the best.
He's just a guy, he loves to ramble randomly across the wire. It's Gareth.
And we're back.
We are back.
That was quick.
It was.
It was very quick. I miss those guys.
So.
Like we said earlier, this is a spin-off sequel, part of our Loose Deuce series.
Yes.
And it is from the 1993 spin-off sequel of The Fugitive called the U.S. Marshals. Why do you think they named it that, Jeremy, and not, you know, something else?
Why not The Fugitive 2?
Yeah.
Because it's about the U.S. Marshals.
It's really more about the U.S. Marshals.
I think that the Fugitive is tied so much to Dr. Richard Kimball that correct. If they wanted to use those characters again, they're like, why would we? Because I think if you called it The Fugitive, even though really it's kind of the same.
Now, there is a rumor going around that they are going to make an official sequel of The Fugitive with Harrison Ford, but I don't know how they would do that. I think that's kind of not correct route to go.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
They're all so tired and
yes. And okay, do that again. Now, who was that? Was that Tommy Lee Jones or was that Harrison Ford? I don't know. Or it's like the same guy.
Or
right?
Is Clint Eastwood.
Or is it Clint Eastwood?
My Gran Torino. I'm sick of catching these fugitives.
He doesn't really say that, but, you know, he should.
No. Tommy Lee Jones. I'm glad that they were like, hey, those characters. Because they... I don't know if anybody who's listening has ever watched the original series. I liked
watching... They showed it on MeTV a couple times.
I thought it
like
was...
Like one of those.
Yeah, it was... It almost reminded me of, like, Nowhere Man.
Yeah,
where it's just like a person who travels around and like you have these individual stories with kind of an overarching theme. But
yeah.
Like he's taking on different roles and coming up across different people and just trying to always stay step ahead of Gerard. I thought it was pretty boring, but I think
you
they
did?
Really. Yeah, I don't know why. I just always
oh
did
the show
the old
oh, okay
the, yeah. So. I think when they made the movie and they were like, well, we're going to build out Gerard a little
right.
bit more and his team. I think that I thought they, you know, I'm glad they took that and were like,
right.
let's run with those. Like, there's some great characters
and in
here.
This movie, we explored even more.
Yes.
So why don't we drop the deuce on a vehicle of a movie for Al Gore's former roommate?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
The also it is not the just so we're clear, Man of the House with Tommy Lee Jones where he protects cheerleaders.
That's not a sidequel.
It's not a sequel to this.
Oh
so.
Darn it, I was hoping it would be.
I know, that'd be wonderful, but yeah. It's not. This is my happy face.
Anyway.
All right.
Go ahead, Tommy Lee.
So, at the beginning of the movie, we start out basically, it's like your kind of
surveillance kind of grainy. Yeah.
And when we see a in a parking garage, like a UN parking garage, two agents who are attempting to intercept this briefcase that's being exchanged between two men. Somebody kills the agents, and then one man kills them, then escapes with like the briefcase.
I'm telling you, government agencies and kidnappers are keeping the briefcase business alive.
Well, even here, like if you think about it, though, too, like so this really starts way different than.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Well, the fugitive was.
It's more like the killing of his wife.
Yeah, it was like a conspiracy, but it was like a individual conspiracy. Yeah,
that's true.
And this is.
It was more centered on.
Yeah, it like has this like government aspect to it already. So, we skip forward a couple months to Chicago, and we see. All this kind of happens pretty quick. Like, you don't really get into much character development right at the beginning. But you see this Mark, this tow truck driver, Mark Warren, who, a.k.a.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes,
Wesley
oh my
Snipes
God.
Is playing our fugitive.
Yes.
I think he is running away from not paying his taxes.
That probably is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
he's got a new identity because of that.
Wesley Snipes is a two-time deucer.
Yes.
He was Blade in two. Major League 2. Yeah.
Major League 2.
Oh, no, he was the first.
He was in the first one,
but he wasn't
got
in
replaced.
The second one. It was Omar Epps.
Omar Epps replaced.
Yeah, him. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
How dare you?
Sorry.
He could have been, but he was too busy filming White Lightning, Black Thunder.
Black
or White Thunder, Black Thunder. I don't know which
right.
It was, but he was filming it.
Yeah.
So now Mark Warren is driving his tow truck, and as he's driving, there's some yuppie guy, like some business guy, who he is smoking, and he's driving and talking.
Right.
And he drops his cigar, like, in his lap. And when he goes to get it, he realizes there's he's, like, driving into oncoming traffic.
Right, it's that classic bit. I drop my cigar in my crotch, and I'm trying to put it out, and I'm going to run over people.
Yeah. And so he is...
Hilarious.
He's driving all over, missing, barely missing traffic. And at one point, he almost hits Wesley Snipes, or almost hits Mark Warren, and the tow truck launches off of, like, he's trying not to hit anybody, launches off of some construction stuff, and then, like, rolls his truck. So he's injured. He's messed up. And police and fire show up. They rescue Mark, and...
The incorrect way you pointed out.
Well, so
they don't go through the windshield.
The truck is on its side. He's laying on the bottom. So the driver, the fireman, climbs all the way down through, like, up the side of the car, all the way down through the passenger side window, which, if it was closed, what are we going to do? Bust it and have glass land all over him?
Yes.
And so... instead of course they do all that instead of just going through the freaking windshield, which is would have been the probably the only way to really get him out of there. And so it was weird, but later, so they get him on a stretcher, they take him away, they like brace his neck and everything, and they take him away, and the firefighter goes, hey, you might want to see this, there's a gun here. And they're like, oh no, because you're not. It wasn't legal for him to have the gun within the city limits of Chicago at the time. So it's like, okay. So they take him away. He's at the hospital. His girlfriend Marie like signs him out. She's French Canadian or something.
French Canadian.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
No, we don't know much about her.
And we will continue not to really know much about her.
Pretty.
We know she works at Starbucks later on.
Yes. And then it's really tenuous.
And then, yeah, affords that kind of nice apartment on a Starbucks.
Yeah. And then she just kind of appears in whatever city we need her in from there on out. Yeah,
pretty much.
So, yeah, she's played by, it's Marie Bineau.
I don't even know who that is. I've never seen her before.
Played by Irene Jacob.
Have you seen her before? Like in anything else?
She's a pretty generic human.
Okay. She really is. Thank you. I just was thinking.
Yeah.
Does she look like every other French woman in a movie? She kind of does to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I've seen you before, but I have not seen you before. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. So they. So she signs him out of the hospital, and as they're leaving, the cops who were there, who brought him in, all of a sudden arrest him. And turns out he's not Mark Warren. According to these prints that they have on him, his name is Mark Roberts. And he's wanted for a double homicide.
And he's related to Eric.
Yes, that's correct. And Julia. Yeah,
Eric's the fucking man.
And so they show a picture of what Mark Roberts looks like, and it does not look like him. It's like a white guy with a beard. And he's like, well, clearly that's not me. And they insist that it is, and so I don't know that there's a trial.
It moves pretty quickly.
Well, they don't talk about a trial. They don't talk about, like, an arrest. I don't know. Like, he's just gone to prison all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
Society, you know, if you're white, Jeremy, you go to,
The guy who, like, wrecked everything up and almost killed everybody because he was being an ass while he was driving.
Nothing.
We don't see anything happen to him.
Nothing.
So he gets put on a prison transport on his way to New York. Now, also around the same time what's happening, we see this kind of sketchy neighborhood. There's this chicken out there who is like going pock, 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 and like handing out free samples. You see a car roll up. Everybody goes inside. And including Animal, or was it Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds?
Yes, Ogre shows up.
And so you see them all go inside, and the chicken is just watching them drive up. And they get him up there, and the chicken starts walking up, and it kicks off his chicken feet and takes off the head, and it's Tommy Lee Jones in a chicken suit. Which is something I've always wanted.
No, and something that's always invaded my dreams.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
So he's in the chicken suit, and then like his other team members are like dressed up as like one's a bum, one's a construction worker, one's a cowboy. They're all dressed up as these other people.
Sure, in the YMCA.
Yeah, and they surround this apartment, and. They all go to work. So they bust in. They start arresting everybody. Ogre is fighting two people off. So he's a big one to take down. There's two women who proceed to, like, one comes at, I think, Tommy Lee Jones with a knife. The other one starts trying to hit him with a frying pan, and he's fighting both of them off. And then they manage to catch this one guy, and... While they're doing all this, a baby starts crying. And so he's just, the lady's like, no, my babies. He's like, don't hurt my babies. And so, or my baby. And so Tommy Lee Jones is cuffing her. And then the guy who Newman has him, is holding him, like has his gun drawn on him.
Where's Cosmo at?
He's fighting Ogre.
Oh, that's right. Cosmo's fighting Ogre.
Yeah.
Newman's fighting the girl.
Yeah.
Jerry and Elaine aren't there yet.
They're out in the car still eating.
I think at one point you actually said that, we actually said that, because we kept hearing Newman,
yeah,
and then Cosmo. I'm like, who are the other people on your squad there?
Yeah, the some of these names too. Bob Biggs, played by Daniel Roebuck.
Yeah,
Cosmo Biggs. Renfro.
Is that his full name, Joey Pants?
Yeah, Cosmo Renfro. Mm-hmm.
That's just great. Like, if that's your name, like, I don't even think he had a full name in the first one.
I don't know.
And so, like, if that's your, like, character name, you're just comic relief.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Biggs, Daniel Roebuck, LaTanya Richardson.
Right.
Is Marshall Savannah Cooper.
Right. And the guy that played Biggs played what's his face?
Jay Leno.
Yeah. On the late shift.
Yes.
Movie, yes, like the.
And of course Tom Wood. So when this guy is like, I gotta go get the baby, and he's getting told to freeze. It's by Tom Wood, who plays Deputy U.S. Marshal Noah Newman.
Noah Newman, who looks like a skinnier version of Judd Reinhold.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I agree.
Thank you.
So they're in the nursery, and Newman is Newman's got the gun drawn on the guy, still telling him to stop. He's like, "No, I just need to get the baby. And so Newman takes a shot and shoots the guy before he gets to the baby. But I did like Newman then picks up the baby and is kind of holding him. You know, like, he says, "It's okay, buddy. It's okay." So he takes the baby, holding on to him, and Tommy Lee Jones runs in there, since shots have now been fired, and figures out there's a shotgun, like, under the baby in the crib. Meanwhile, you think it's kind of over, but Ogre is still fighting them, and Ogre manages to, like, he's, like, biting Bob Biggs in the arm, and so Tommy Lee Jones or Gerard runs in there and just hits him with the shotgun that they picked up and gives him a bunch of stitches. So later they go out, they're getting they'll go out for drinks, and they're all kind of joking around and being celebrated. They almost treat them like they're superheroes at this thing, like, as people just like, "Yeah, you guys are the best, we love you, U.S. Marshals." And later on, they go to Tommy Lee Jones goes to a dinner party where he has, like, some celebrity with him, and his boss, who I can never seem to remember.
I think she's played by Hillary Rodham Clinton.
God, she does. She looks just like Hillary Clinton, or like Hillary Clinton, or like Amy Poehler playing Hillary Clinton. It's Kate Nelligan is her name.
Yeah.
And so she tells him, you know, he shouldn't have hit the suspect. He says, "Well, you know, what do you want me to do?" And you know, they decide. She says, "Hey, you need to take some time off, but before you do that, I want you to take all those people who you just arrested. They're going to the federal lockup, so I need you to take them there. You're going to be their escort on the transport plane to New York." So he says, yeah, he agrees to do that, and they're going to go. On the plane, so now everybody's on there. It's pretty normal. Everybody's getting kind of locked down into place. It's almost like maybe this is also a Con Air spinoff. So everybody's getting locked into place. They get them set up, and right before they take off, right as they're taking off, one of the inmates asks if he can, or prisoners asks if he can use the bathroom. So they agree. They say, yeah, he can. I'm sorry, right before this, too, we see, like, when Mark Warren was getting interrogated, he manages to break somebody's eyeglasses and take, like, the arm of it off there. And so he's had it now, and he's using it to pick his locks to get out of his handcuffs. The guy who has to go to the bathroom, when he's in there, he takes the toilet paper roll off, and inside of the tube that holds the paper there, he has a like a pen gun, like a little zip gun type thing. And so as he's walking back to his seat after he's done using the bathroom, he tries using it to shoot Mark. And when he does, it misses. Mark, his hands are free now, so he manages to deflect it. It goes through the glass and depressurizes the cabin. Part of the side of the plane starts ripping open. A bunch of, like, the guard and that prisoner and some of the other prisoners, I think, get sucked out. Some debris goes into the plane and starts breaking up the engines.
Yeah, did you notice the plane, when they showed it on the outside, it looked a lot bigger than what kind of looked like on the inside of the set?
Yeah, it was like...
It felt like it was a much smaller plane.
Yeah, it...
than what they showed.
Inside looked really wide.
Yeah.
Like, it looked really... Because they had all the... Hey, their seats looked way more comfortable than the last time I was on a plane. Like, it was very wide. They had room to lock everybody down and to get in their own space. But then on top of that, it was like, it wasn't very deep. But when you look at the outside, it was this really narrow, long plane.
Up till now, everything's very formulaic. Yep. There's nothing really to talk about this movie so far. It's very much kind of in tune with the first movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like almost.
It almost is to the T, like The Fugitive in a way. There are some differences that we'll discuss, but for the most part right now, there's nothing really, you know, there's no mistakes in this movie that are blunders.
No. No,
but there's nothing really to talk great about this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, so as the plane is going down and things are coming apart, there was some weird, I couldn't figure out the engines on the right side of the plane take a hit, but those are engines 2 and 3, and so I didn't know, like, what their engine setup was. I was confused about a lot of that.
Yeah, are you an aviator that I don't know about?
I've been in a plane. Is that close
enough?
Well,
I've been in a plane, too, but I don't know.
I just don't know. I would think that, like, 1 and 2 would be on one side.
We've been in a plane together.
We have been. When the girl just puked.
When the girl puked right next to me when I was like, yeah, I can look out the window. Look. And she reached for her barf bag and puked at the same time.
He like, looked right into it.
And I looked right at her, and I went, nope. And I didn't look out the window.
You're not supposed to look directly into it. they managed to take the plane down, and they're looking for, like, a runway or an airstrip or something. The closest they have is a very straight shot of road that's up ahead. So they, you know, descend, and they're going to land on that. And as they're
landing, these are kind of like the worst pilots. Like, under stress, they're kind of terrible.
It took them. They were just, like, gingerly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine that, like, having to, like... I remember somebody telling me when they learned... they learn to fly that they, like, try to teach you, like, what to do in case you stall out and stuff like that. I just figured that would be me, like, shrieking at the top of my lungs as I'm flying into the ground.
I think when, like, there were, because they can lock or unlock the people.
Yeah.
Based on, like, the seat that they're in.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Wesley Snipes' seat was 57. Is that correct?
I think.
He was passenger 57? Or he likes Heinz 57 sauce.
That
either way, always bet on black.
It can be both.
Okay.
So they land. And this is interesting, too, because you know that when they were, like, building highways and roads and stuff, like, around World War II, that part of it was all those stretches of road, like so every so long, every so far has to be like a straight shot so that airplanes can land on it.
Thanks,
in case
Ken
of emergencies.
Burns.
Well, it's true. So they managed to hit one of these straight shots. Of course, the bad part is the road is closed at the end. And so, which is.
So they hit water.
Yeah. So they go off the end and they slide down a hill and like roll into water.
And now, during this whole thing, were you thinking the same thing? I was thinking, like, they got to get these people out. But how are they going to, like, keep them all, like, together?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, someone's going to escape.
Yeah. And they, right? So they, yeah. I was kind of like, oh,
I mean,
man.
Chaos. Is there's flames going on. I mean, yeah. Someone's going to.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. And
who has already freed himself.
Right. He was already in that process.
Yeah, he was in that process.
And you see, like, as the passengers, because at first I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be crazy back there. But they're all right. Chained in. Although,
look, I've seen that episode of Prison Break where it's a riot. No.
Yeah. They're all chained in and they're belted in.
It's not a zoot suit riot.
They're all chained in and belted in. So as they're rolling, everybody's in their seats. And you just see Wesley Snipes' arms are in the air. It's because he's like, because his arms are
free. Do you notice
freed,
this
so.
Too? Like the actors, when like the plane was kind of turning, they were kind of going really weird. But like yeah. Then you would see the plane. It was just going to the right, but they would go to the left, the right, the left.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah, they were hamming it up.
They were hamming it up, but it was great.
So
but there's not that many over-the-top moments in this movie.
No.
But that was kind of over-the-top.
Yeah, I think that was like, they have a lot of scenes where it's like, oh my God, this is just one thing. And like we were talking about, we're like, we can just sum up that whole scene in one sentence. Like it was.
They go into a building.
So, yeah, so much action.
He jumps off a roof.
Yeah. And so, in this case, so they end up rolling into the water and you see. Like water starts rushing in and everybody's upside down.
Yeah.
And so Tommy Lee Jones gets a bunch of
the guns.
Yeah, gets all the guns and starts arming the guards and says, like, get out there. You know, we got to get away from here. And then he and some of the other guards start getting the prisoners out and start freeing them because their locks aren't letting go. So now they have to, like, really, like, work all of them to get them out of there. And they're running off, and yeah, I kept thinking, how come all of these people are not running?
Right.
But they all
are like
kind of
trying.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's pretty creepy, almost high stakes at one point, like because the thing is descending, and it's kind of like sinking into the water.
Yeah, I'm not saying like I wasn't on my edge of my seat a little bit.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
But like I just was all like, they're hamming it up a little bit too.
And you would see like, so they get a bunch of people out. Wesley Snipes, you see him free, and he tells Gerard's like, you know, all right, you're free. You got to help me, but, you know, don't make me shoot you by trying to run.
Right.
And so, he's helping him get people out. And it's kind of interesting because you see, like, some people, water's starting to come up around their head. So he's, like, getting them out of there, and you see him, like, kind of struggling. And at one point, he's under the water trying to help somebody, and you see a prisoner on the other side who obviously has drowned already.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so creepy. There's just a guy under there with his eyes open.
So it, in turn, is like Titanic.
Yeah.
Which was number one at the box office the same week.
They were just trying to capitalize.
Can
we put
on
something
that?
On there where, you know, Gerard is on a wooden door and won't save?
Gerard! No. I will never forget that day. That day the plane came down and I had that necklace. The heart of Atlantis. Go ahead.
The heart of the fugitive.
What are you doing here, Gloria Stewart?
I forgot.
Leave.
She won't leave our plane.
She won't leave the plane. She's just like a crazy old woman. I'm trying to help.
So
no.
Okay, and this is one thing I didn't quite understand too. So the plane is sinking, yeah? Like it's going, you hear it bubbling, you hear it gurgling as water, or it's like it's sinking, and you see it sinking. But then when you see the shots of the aftermath, when they're like, oh, you know, we got the FAA thing out there, it's just sitting right on top.
Yeah, I didn't get that either, but whatever.
It was so weird. Little inconsistency there, but
like how maybe they pulled it out, but even if they pulled it out, it would go back down. I mean, it had water.
Yeah, I don't. So they have like all of the.
So they're taking inmates. They're taking account.
Yeah,
how many people have died? How many people are?
Yeah, so they're we're
minus
for,
one except person.
For one, everybody else was very well behaved. It's just this one person. And it's Mark Warren, or Mark Roberts. So he's a fugitive.
What we got is a fugitive. I think Leslie Jones. Tommy Lee Jones. I don't know why I said Leslie Jones.
Close. They are related.
Leslie Jones is Tommy Lee Jones' daughter.
Yes.
All right.
So the plane had landed in southern Illinois.
Yeah, this movie's all, like, I read that there was over 60 shooting locations.
Yeah.
Like, around the United States.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's way too many. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so they were like, well, we have these deep lagoon-like swamps in southern Illinois, which I've never seen that.
No, I think, you know, but weren't they trying to be... Were they in Illinois?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought they were more in Indiana.
Which I don't get why.
Because they were kind of rednecky.
Yeah.
Where they were at.
But they were in swamps, so I don't understand why it's not closer to the sea.
Where are there swamps in Illinois?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Are there swamps in Indiana that I don't know about?
I don't think there's any there either.
I don't know why you're getting this.
Well, and so then... But it's weird because also they're going from Chicago to New York and you end in southern Illinois somewhere.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't
understand. I don't understand. Like, yeah, that seems very odd.
Well, wrong. What are you going to go through Chicago? That doesn't make sense.
They're coming from Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's like a straight shot
right
there.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Or no, did they say that they were making a stopover somewhere? I don't remember.
Who cares?
But it's dumb regardless. They gather up, like, the U.S. Marshals make their way down there, and Gerard,
They mount up.
Yeah, they basically are like, let's get
superheroes. These guys are superheroes.
Yeah.
Even the music sounds like a superhero music.
Yeah, it does. It's very dramatic. And so they get the team together, and of course it is of note that they bring Joey Pants brings him a change of clothes.
Yes,
that is this shiny purple tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous. But eventually he does wear it.
Right, which I think Rue McClanahan wore it once on the Golden Girls.
I think she might have. You know, that thing looked dumb until Tommy Lee Jones put it on there, and I went. Well,
you know what? Like, I was the same way. Like, he was in a chicken outfit, but then when he took it off, I was like, okay, that's badass because that's Tommy Lee Jones,
yeah.
Right? And then his clothes were all tore up from the plane crash. So he was like, how much for this t-shirt? And he wears his t-shirt. It says, like, Billy Bob's Barbecue, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you can rock that. You're Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Like, throughout the whole movie, I was like, you're put in ridiculous. Like situations, but I'm like, oh yeah, it works for you.
Yeah, no, Tommy Lee
and
Jones,
he doesn't. It's not like comedy. He doesn't. They don't use it as comic relief either.
He's good at that. I think doing that kind of like it's
like
got
nonchalant.
This element of humor, but it's very like straight man kind of.
Well, yeah, well, like yeah, he does that a lot with Men in Black.
Yes, yeah, he's excellent in there. So we see the DSS show up. It's like the Secret Service.
Oh, the dental. Well, I thought you meant like
the dental
dentist
service. Yeah.
Yeah.
The DDS show up. All the dentists. so they show up and they say that you know this is part of their purview and this is what's going on. So the director Lamb. Says, you know, we'll let you take this guy from us, that's John Royce.
Right, John Royce.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. You're going to take him.
This was the heyday of Robert Downey Jr.'s kind of like on and off again relationship with drugs.
Yes.
Because shortly after that, I think he was on Ally McBeal.
Yep.
And all that. So it was kind of around that really bad time.
Yes, for him. It was.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was kind of like his, I think at that point it was like he was starting to get back in the limelight, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, like if you were to tell someone that guy's going to play Iron Man,
yeah,
later on, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, right?
No.
So he joins up with them, and Gerard says, like, let's get a bunch of boats together, and we're going to go search these swamps for him, because he stole a boat. We know he's out there. Let's go. And they manage to... they all go out there. Gerard tells Royce, like when Royce finds him, he tells Royce, stay put, just send off a flare. Well, let's meet up and we'll go after him. Royce goes after him on his own, almost gets shot. He's like being held hostage, basically. Gerard shows up and saves him and takes a bullet in his vest. And during all of this, like, all their guns get changed up and everybody's grabbing whatever. And, like, we see that his gun gets stolen by Wesley Snipes. So, through this, because, you know, Royce is very headstrong and he's so gung-ho about going after these guys because the two guys who got killed, Mark supposedly killed were his friends. And so they're part of his team, so he wanted to go after him. So Gerard tells him, you know, you can't take things personally. We have to do this and this. We have to go by the book. So it seems like he's kind of taking Royce under his wing a little bit. And Royce is a good part
kind
of the team.
Kind of, but I really think that Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Is his kind of like.
Newman is like almost his like his son. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he does like he has a soft spot for Newman throughout the whole movie. So they start tracking a couple different things. So one of the things they do while they're traveling to New York, they're trying to figure out. There's how that zip gun got on board.
Yeah.
Turns out they find a mechanic that was bribed to basically hide the zip gun. So they know that now these Chinese guys are involved.
Right.
Around that same time, we see Mark. He's now secured space, like a residence across from the UN. And the Chinese consulate, and he's, like, watching them. He's got this whole high-tech setup where he's watching everything. He's got cameras. He's monitoring, like, looking for somebody in particular.
Yeah.
While they're going through all this, and they're tracking, Mark reached out to his girlfriend, Marie, and so they're trying to kind of find him through her at the same time. They eventually
go to Starbucks. She works at Starbucks.
So Gerard too, they confront director Lamb and they're like, what's going on with this guy? Turns out Mark, his real name is Sheridan. It's Mark Sheridan, not Roberts or Warren, Mark Sheridan. And Mark Sheridan used to work for the DSS. Like, he was one of their, they called him a kite, where it was, you know, he was on a string for them, and if they, the heat was on him, they could cut the string and just let him float away.
Right.
So they had used him for a lot of things. So he's very well trained, which explains how he's getting away all the time. So, the, and they find part of this out because they're looking at the surveillance footage, and they see this Chinese guy who they had passed, who they didn't know who he was at the time, but he's like killing off, or he's killing like sources, and he's killing all these other people tied to, you know, this investigation. So they're like, oh, this is what's going on. They realize the whole story about like him leaving fingerprints. It was very like,
there was a lot of like a lot of things going on for not a lot of plot.
Yeah.
Am I right with that? Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that are like, we can move this along a little quicker.
It kept varying. It would give you a ton of details, yeah, for little payoff. And then all of a sudden, like, the story would leap forward in this investigation with no real detail. And like,
and then you're like, why?
They'd be like, hey, we found this. Well, how did you find
how
that?
How did you find
we
that?
We found it. You know, like, it was just...
No, let's go back to that.
Yeah, which... Yeah, it was just, like, very inconsistent with, yeah, how that story part went. So, after looking at the footage, Gerard thinks that Sheridan killed those other agents in self-defense, yeah, that they were bad.
How much money do you think Gerard makes? Do you think he has a butler? Gerard Butler?
Gerard's Butler.
Yeah, Gerard's Butler.
Yes.
That could be like another spinoff.
Yeah. It's called Olympus Has Fallen or whatever it was.
Another Die Hard ripoff.
Yeah. My God, that movie.
Die Hard in the White House, right?
Yeah, basically. Okay. And there was two of those that came out. That was that, yeah, and like, can't remember what the other one was. I think I watched one of them and I was like, this is awful.
No, we watched one with your mom.
That's what it was. Ooh, we watched it with my mom. Yeah. Yikes.
McBikes.
So now they're like, well, something bad's going down. We got to figure this out. So they're tracking, they're following the guy from the Chinese consulate who they know is a hitman. And so he's got a package or a briefcase. So they're watching him.
Yeah, he's got a package.
So they're following him. He exchanges it with another guy, and so now they're following both of those. They track the guy who received the new package to the Queens Hill Cemetery. So there's a group of them there watching him. He goes inside this chapel, and they don't follow. They're just wondering what he's doing in there. We also don't have eyes on him yet, or at least the U.S. Marshals don't.
Yeah.
But we see, we now see Sheridan dressed like Cat Williams.
Yeah.
He's got like this wig on. It's goofy looking.
Yeah, he does look like Cat Williams.
He does. It's really like, of all the disguises, and he has it on for so long.
Yeah, he has it on way too long.
So silly. He, like,
even when they figure out it's him, he still has it on.
Yeah.
There's a scene though, like when he goes, well, screw this, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, why didn't you think of that? Like,
well, also, and he has like a Cat Williams like mustache goatee, yeah, thing. But when he takes his, I'm so used to Wesley Snipes having that like mustache goatee thing that when he goes, and takes the wig off and then he like rips the mustache thing off, I was like, oh my God, that wasn't Wesley Snipes' mustache. Like, I thought it was his, and I thought he like ripped it off. Was like,
he's like, screw it.
Screw it.
Rip off my own mustache.
I don't have time to shave.
I'm going real meta on this one.
But yeah, so so he shows up to the funeral and confronts one of the guys from the DSS shows up. He's didn't record his name, but anyway, he is like a mole. And so they're like, okay, well, Barrows. So Agent Barrows shows up. Sheridan confronts him and is like, you know, you've been selling top secret information to the Chinese. And he's like, why did you frame me? Why did you do this? And they're like, well, we needed somebody to take the fall. Like, he's like, who else are you working for? He goes, I can't say. I'm not going to say. And he doesn't want to tell. And so he's like, fine, I'll get it out of you somewhere else. And so he gets him, and they're walking out. Now, all of this, Once he comes out, then Gerard is like, oh, shit, it's going down. And so Gerard's trying to make his way over there to stop him. But before he can, that Chinese consulate guy shoots Barrows in the head and is basically opening fire on them, and they're firing back. Big gunfight that seems to go on forever. And finally, Biggs and Savannah Cooper get behind him and arrest the Chinese consulate guy.
Right.
In the meantime, Wesley Snipes gets away. Yeah. Sheridan gets away.
They're chasing him. They chase him into, like, what, the retirement home? Kind of?
Yeah. So they basically are following him along.
At first it looked like a dorm room. And yes. Then I was like, I think this is an old people's home.
Yeah. So they, first off, he's running with his girl because she picks him up.
Right, but then she says, just go without me.
Yeah, and so he's going.
And trust me, we tried to go without you, but you're still in this movie.
Yeah, there were some really weird things with her. And, like, she just kept showing up. I'm like, you don't even advance this story at
all. I actually think I read that she's in the French, the Three Colors movies. She's in Red.
Oh, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And she was a fine actress. Like, she had a good command of her English language and everything too. It's like very versatile. So they're all running after them. They managed to track him to a retirement home. And so everybody runs inside, and like all the U.S. Marshals are all getting beat up at this point. Like their cars are getting hit.
Yeah.
And they're getting bruised up. Everybody's just getting injured.
Which is what you would expect from a graveyard.
Yeah, there you go. They should have held their breath.
They should have the whole time they were there waiting for whatever was going to happen. They should have been holding their breath.
It's what they say.
I have a friend, Carolyn, that she does that all the time.
Yeah, hold your breath when you go past a graveyard.
And you know that big Wesley Snipes graveyard, like that big grave cemetery in Lincoln on O Street.
Yeah.
Whenever we pass it, she'd be like. And I'm like, just breathe. I can't, you know? She wouldn't do it.
The fence that's around that used to be the original fence that was around the University of Nebraska Lincoln campus.
You know,
yeah. So they're running through the retirement home trying to, track him down. And now inside there it's Newman, Royce, and Gerard. Like, everybody else is injured and kind of getting their faculties together or getting back up. So they're running. They get upstairs, and Royce is going from room to room with Gerard. And Gerard, Royce takes a couple shots at Sheridan and misses. He hits the banister. He's getting ready to run in on his own like he did before.
Yeah.
Gerard tells him to stop, and they go at it together. So they both go in there. They get into this one elderly gentleman's room, and Royce says, like, okay, nobody's in here, everything's okay, whatever. And the guy keeps kind of looking, trying to get his attention, and then he realizes, shit, something's behind me. And so Royce turns around.
And it looks like he's Spider-Man? Ceiling?
He just, like, drops off the ceiling onto him. We don't know
where. But to be fair, that's Blade, isn't it? Kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah, Blade kind of does that, I guess. So
Wesley Snipes is a black belt.
He is.
So it's not like it's, something that I could not see him doing.
I think it's
out of character for that character.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he's a very physical actor, and he tried to do stunts when he could on his own. He's a very physical guy, so he probably, could have held himself up there. It just seemed really weird, because it's not like you don't even get a good look at it before all of a sudden he's just like, wah, just like falling at him. but they tangle, they fight a little bit, they brawl, and he starts escaping out the window, and Royce is like taking some shots at him. Newman breaks in through the door. Royce turns around and shoots him. So Newman is down, and you hear some other gunshots, and Royce is just like, oh, you know, he killed them, and you know, oh, you know, he, while he was escaping her, he shot this. So Gerard calls in an ambulance for Newman, and meanwhile decides he's going to go after Sheridan, so he's going after him. He gets up to the top of this building, and obviously Sheridan doesn't know quite what to do at the time. This actually was part of the trailer. I just remember seeing this.
Yes.
So it was like the big thing people were waiting to happen. And what happens is
It's the big scene in Fugitive where it's the water, the dam, the waterfall, and yes. He's jumping.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's on
exactly,
top of
it. Yeah.
But like, how do we make it bigger and better?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So he doesn't know what to do, but all he sees is like it's like the train is coming by, and you know, there's the crane nearby, and like he just doesn't know what to do. So when we come in, he's standing on the edge.
The crane looks like it's a little further away than, like, I don't know if like that's plausible.
Yeah.
But
well, to some degree it is, but obviously they had to set it up right. But
right.
So he, you know, we get the whole, you know, you need to freeze, you know, blah, 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 like trying to talk him down. And he's like, I can't stop. Sorry. And he jumps off the building. Sheridan does.
Yeah.
Swings on this cable and lands on this roof, across the way of this like station, runs along the roof, and then jumps on the train right as it's leaving the station. And that actually, I was reading that the stunt man who did that, they weren't going to, just because of how everything was set up, they weren't going to be able to use nets, and they weren't going to be able to use airbags. So that guy had to do all that in one take, and he had to do it flawlessly.
Right.
And so he did it. He got it all done. So, which is amazing. It was amazing. It's a great stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
a really cool stunt.
It's, if you're looking at, like, stunts and things, it's worth being called out. It was a good one. So now, the ambulance shows up. Gerard rides with Newman to the hospital. But on the way there, he dies. So.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it, Newman.
Newman. So
he's distraught. I mean,
yeah.
It's
Gerard is upset, and you know, he's in there, and you know, he's talking with Royce, and you know, Royce is talking about, like, you know, just basically he's they managed to track him down to like a granary or like this grain silo storage thing with Sheridan, and so
he takes a pill, and yes. So then he goes so then he goes to CVS or wherever, and like goes through like the pills on the shelf, like
until he figures out what it is.
To figures out what pill it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pill for motion sickness.
Yeah.
Are there any cruise ships going out of port or whatever?
Yeah.
And they say no, but there's this carrier that's going out with a couple passengers.
It has grain on it.
It has grain on it.
Yeah, that's how they figure that out. Which seems like a huge freaking leap.
A really big leap.
Yeah, very large leap.
Bigger than leaping on that train.
Yes, very much so. So he's, you know, Gerard knows he could get revenge and just kill Sheridan right here, but he decides, nope, I can't be that person. So he arrests him. He does the right thing.
Yeah.
But while he's down there, all of a sudden, just like bullets start just raining down on him, and Royce is just firing from up on the edge. And he shoots Sheridan, but he really comes close to shooting Gerard too a bunch of times. And he chalks it up to, you know, him being avenging his friends.
Right.
So now they're in the hospital. Gerard and him are talking. Gerard starts thinking about, like, the gun.
Yeah.
Everything. And he said,
starts putting pieces together that we've already thought of the minute we met Robert Downey Jr.'s
character. Yeah, he's like, he sees the gun. Oh, this was the gun that was used to kill whatever.
Right.
And you realize that it's Royce's gun from before. It's been swapped out. And so he's like, I bet the bullet that hit me in the vest, which was the one that was fired from that silver gun, right, you will probably match up to, you know, these other, add up to the one that was Noah or whatever, like,
right,
you know,
Newman.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know, these will match up, but he's sitting there kind of thinking. And he goes, ooh, can I see that? He's like, oh, you got this? He's like, oh, these Glocks are great. And he's like, you know, kind of playing with the mag and does whatever and gives it back to him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get us some coffee. Like, what do you want? And so he goes to get him some coffee. Gerard does. Royce sends the cop with the guns to go put him in evidence. And when the cop leaves, he goes in to try to kill Sheridan. Turns out he was in on the whole thing, or he was running it.
What?
Yeah. And
I smelled shade the whole time.
Yeah.
Look, through this whole movie, and spoilers if you've not seen it, but you can kind of tell Robert Downey Jr. and these people are up to no good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just something off about him. Plus, they're not using him like his character. Like, they're not using the actor, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
They're not using him very much.
Yeah, he just becomes one of...
He becomes, like, one of the team?
Yeah.
Or side character? And
yes.
I'm like, no, yeah, there's more of you than...
Yeah, but he doesn't belong with them because he's...
Right.
Yeah. And so Royce is in the room with Sheridan, and he's, like, injuring him more, like, kind of, like, messing with his wounds. And then he puts a knife in his hand and is going to shoot him because he says, oh, this will make it look like you attacked me, you know, and I'll put you down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while he's getting ready to do that, Gerard busts in and has his gun, or he's like, hey, you need to stop. He's like, you're going to kill me too? And Royce goes to kill Gerard. When he pulls the trigger, the gun doesn't go off because Gerard replaced his magazine with an empty one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with Time magazine.
He replaced it, which so I don't know if there was not a bullet in the chamber or what, but anyway.
Yeah,
but
didn't quite get that one. Yeah.
But he switched it out, and when he did, of course, you know, it doesn't go off. He knows that Royce is this bad guy then.
Right.
And Royce,
what are you
going
to say, that, like, I was trying to shoot him or whatever?
Yeah, right. So Royce goes for a backup gun.
I'm Superman. No one's going to believe you.
Royce goes for a backup gun, and Gerard puts him down, just shoots him,
yeah,
and kills him. And then, in the meantime...
Then Gerard's butler has to come in and clean it up,
yeah,
all the mess.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Looks like you shot another bad guy.
I'm all over it, sir. So he puts him down.
I was in Dracula 2000.
If none of you have ever watched Gerard Butler's audition tape...
No, I don't even want to talk about
it. For Dracula 2000, please do so. It is crazy.
Don't.
It is cuckoo. But so Sheridan gets exonerated at a government hearing. He makes peace with Gerard. And the team goes off to kind of... You remember Newman.
Right.
And then just take it easy for a little while.
And basically you've been deuced.
Yep.
Right?
So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, action, but not a lot of plot.
Yeah, there's scenes where it's like you the don't even, action goes on for a long time. So this movie is...
But you don't even know, like, they don't really explain why the government was doing all this.
Yep. They don't explain why it was happening outside of greed or, like, what the secrets were. There's no high stakes like, uh-oh, a bunch of agents are going to die or, like, anything
like that.
So
you don't really, like... You don't even care.
I wasn't even invested really in that part.
Not really.
Yeah. And I wasn't... it was hard for me to be invested in some of that.
In some of it, yes. So that's what we thought of it. Let's hear what other people thought of it. A Boy Guest 38 gives it a 7 out of 10. Go get him, Tommy Lee is what he says.
Go get him, Tommy Lee.
G-I-T. All right. We got ourselves a fugitive. Go get him, Tommy Lee. Only this time the fugitive, Snipes as Sheridan, is a cross between Rambo, Houdini, and Superman. He actually flies. Unless you got the IQ of a pigeon, you should be able to work out that there's this one going on. There's a lot of action as expected with the good guys dodging bullets, and the special effects are great. The team is still full of great one-liners. But the plot is complicated by Robert Downey Jr.'s Royce character and the FBI. FBI?
They're U.S. Marshals. Dude,
like,
the movie is called U.S. Marshals.
You've probably seen it anyway, so maybe you just need to decide if it's worth a second viewing. It probably is if you're a Tommy Lee fan. The French Bird is gorgeous in this. The end.
The French bird?
Yeah, like the French lady.
Yeah. So he's a Brit, I assume.
Or he's just a person that likes to call women birds, which is terrible. He likes their hooters. Anyway, okay. So this one is Indy 52. They give it a 4 out of 10 and put boring. Now, The Fugitive is one of my favorite movies ever, but this movie is definitely unworthy of being the sequel of that film. Wesley Snipes is very boring and uninteresting, and so is the storyline. I never cared about what happened to Mark, but in The Fugitive, we really root for Richard Kimball. And you hate Sam Gerard. I thought this movie was totally unnecessarily, because the idea is exactly the same as its predecessor. It's just brought in a more boring way. I registered for IMDb just to give this a 4.
Well, that seems like a really sad existence.
That you're like, I'm out to get U.S. Marshals.
I agree with some of that, like about the being invested in the characters. The whole thing about, like, it makes you hate Tommy Lee Jones, you can go fuck right off with that. Because that is...
No.
He was, if this one doesn't make you love that character more, like, I think Gerard, Sam Gerard is a great character. Great character. And I'm glad they wanted to do more with him. I really am. But I think, and I mentioned this to you when we got done watching it, like, the first one was about an individual, there was a conspiracy, but it was just, like, Richard Kimball and the doctors and stuff. Like, that was... It was this, like, small-time conspiracy. It was not a giant government thing.
No, it wasn't.
And the thing that turns me off with this one a little bit is that it's just this grand government conspiracy.
It's too convoluted
Its own good. There's too many, like, government conspiracies. If this guy was framed for something and it was, like, more on, like, it was this company he worked for or something like that or...
Yeah.
Something smaller scale, I can totally get behind it. But when all of a sudden you have, like, government spy shit happening,
which
I just don't really care.
Doesn't have a really great review.
No. I feel like they wanted to do that, and they wanted to make it this grandiose thing, but they didn't quite pull it off like it needed to. But I think that's what loses it for me, is, like, the scope of it is not right. I think it needed to be a little bit smaller scale.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, do you want to get into 5 questions?
Sure.
All right. So what do you think is the best part?
Well, this is a fine movie.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a terrible movie. I don't think this is The Fugitive.
Agreed.
But I think that I feel like they could have really toned it down in a way, like you said. and made a better movie. Having said that, I really thought the special effects aren't that bad in this movie. The practical effects and stuff, that's not terrible, but really this is a Tommy Lee Jones movie.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. is not that great in this movie because they don't really give him a lot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it would have been such a disaster if they gave him more, though, because he was still...
Oh, like, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot... What I appreciate about this movie the most isn't just the fact that it's Tommy Lee Jones, but that they don't try to outdo the first one. They try to outdo the first one in the stunts, but they don't try to outdo the first one with, like, making it all cheesy with one-liners. Do you know what I mean? They kind of keep in the tradition of the character.
Yes.
Like, they don't make him all goofy.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. I think the best part for me, Tommy Lee Jones. Like, honestly, he's the heart of this movie.
Yeah.
Somebody who's so serious... He drives some of the humor that's in it. He drives some of the, like, his humor is just right, because you have, on the other side, you have Joe Pantoliano, whose character is, like, hyper goofy, who, when they're like, where are you? And I'm stuck in traffic, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just, like, his character is so obnoxious and goofy that it's like, oh, this is terrible. But, like, he has this great...
Like, it's not like he totally overdoes the movie constantly.
No, they do it in bursts, but yeah. But so it's like his humor is just the right level of humor for this. His seriousness is just right. His heart of things and like the emotion he puts into it, just right. Like Tommy Lee Jones, to me, I'm glad they did this. I wish they would have done something, I think, that was a little bit better of a treatment of the character and his team. But like Tommy Lee Jones, for me, like he deserved a chance to do more with
to
that.
To explore this character.
And he's the right person to be that. Like he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why he won an Academy Award for this role in the first movie.
Yes.
So give him a chance to, you know, explore.
Yeah. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
I would actually kind of reboot in a way, but like have a TV series, but not quite like the Fugitive TV series, but kind of. I know this is going to sound really weird, but like maybe either make it a 6 or 12 episode season to where there's like 2 cases and you're following one person in the first 6 episodes and like maybe another storyline in the next episode, or just have seasons where it's 6 episodes.
I could get behind that, like a 6-episode season, and that 6 episodes is just following one fugitive.
Right, because I think if you talk about serialized TV shows like 24, there it often gets too much where you're like, this is a filler episode.
Yeah.
So I need it to be like 6 episodes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you wanted to make it a bigger season, make it 12 episodes and put like 2 different, you know, fugitive people. Or just 6 episodes.
Well, do 6 episodes and then do like a spring and a fall or something like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah. No, I get behind that. Actually, I was going to say cancel because I didn't want them to reboot it. But, you know, like, you've swayed me on that. I want to do that.
You know, and I know Tommy Lee Jones, like, probably wouldn't do it. But, like, you could get, like, a younger cast and make it fresh.
Oh, my God. Because here's a perfect first part for this. Like, the first season, we got to get Tommy Lee Jones and have him do this, but have it where he's kind of passing the torch off to the next guy.
Right, like, he's in charge.
He's still, like, hesitant about, like, passing this torch on to whatever guy because of Newman.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that in his mind. And, like, I mean, you could have cameos from those other actors who are part of the team.
Or, like, he doesn't need to be part of the series, but he could be, like, Bradley Cooper in, like, Limitless, where he shows up, like 1 or 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Where he's the marshal now. Now he's the guy in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
And there are the, instead of being the deputy marshal, mm-hmm. he's just the marshal.
So he doesn't need to show up so much, but
yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And then you could just, if you need to talk to him, you could always just have somebody doing
and
a Tommy Lee Jones
impression.
And the reason
why I say that is because I really get into TV shows, you know this, that are very action-driven and like are cliffhanger-esque.
Yeah.
But also have a little bit of conspiracy theory around it. But I think six episodes, you could flesh out some of the story
yeah.
to try to give you, because I think that's what's missing in this. It's like it's only 2 hours long. And so you only have so much that you can put in.
Yeah.
And I think they're missing a lot that they could have done.
Yeah, agreed.
You know.
Nope, I completely agree. And I have changed my answer based off of yours.
I persuaded you.
Yes, you did. do you think this
so much it's choke. I'm choked up.
Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yes. I think I do. I think it does.
I do. I think so.
I think so, too. I think you don't really need to... You need to know that he is an important person.
Yeah.
The Gerard character.
Yeah.
And you do because of, you know, how he acts. Takes the chicken suit off and you're like, oh, okay.
And they form up behind him like in a little V of...
Like a little... I think it holds off on its own perfectly. You don't need to know about Richard Kimball.
Nope.
They don't talk about Richard Kimball.
Nope.
Richard Kimball's not connected.
I'm so glad
to anyone.
That they weren't like...
They focus more on the U.S. Marshals, hence the name U.S. Marshals, instead of Wesley Snipes' character. And I think that's where maybe the plot got lost a little bit, because we're more focused on how they're going to catch him and not really the reason why it's happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it happened.
I agree. I completely agree. Like, and I'm glad they weren't like, hey, Richard Kimball, and just like start.
That's why I'm like, the rumor that they're going to do that, that's dumb.
Yeah. Or that he like sits at his desk and there's like clippings of that case. Like, he's, I'm sure he's got plenty of things. That one just happens to be crazy.
And it's not like that's his only case that has made him like be high up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be other reasons why his character is one of the most important U.S. Marshals.
Yep.
It's not just the Richard Kimball thing.
Agreed.
And I'm glad that they don't do that. Like, you get on like NCIS or like these shows where they're like, oh, you're the greatest person ever.
I loved CSI. And so I watched CSI New York and Miami. And there's an episode of CSI New York. Well, what's his name? Gary Sinise was like the producer. And his character was always a superhero, the detective that was a superhero, basically. There was one episode, people would always be like, Mac Taylor, you are the greatest person who's ever lived. And one time he goes into like a restaurant and whatever baseball guy was there, baseball guy, and like was like, oh, Mac Taylor, you're my hero.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
They don't
like,
do that here.
Can I get some pointers on something? I'm like, oh, screw this.
It's not like Wesley Snipes' character is like, oh, no, the great Sam Gerard's out to get me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Does this movie want to make you watch the first one?
Absolutely. Absolutely makes me want to watch the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it's been forever since I've seen it.
Me too.
It's one of those movies that used to play all the time on TV and now nothing at all.
Yes.
And so it's makes me want to go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
Mainly because of Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
And not necessarily Harrison Ford.
Well, and when I was younger and I watched it, I remember really being like involved with like the Harrison Ford storyline.
Yeah.
But I was just like, Tommy Lee Jones. But now that I'm older, like, I think I might appreciate it in different ways.
I think so, too. I think I would, too.
This, like, seeing this and seeing Tommy Lee Jones, I'm like, I really want to revisit this. It would almost have been, like, part of me is, like, secretly, I wish this thing would have come out first, and then it had been like, oh, why don't we have the next one just be The Fugitive?
No, I don't like that.
No, you don't?
No, I think this is perfect. And I don't think it's perfect. This is very much not a perfect movie.
It's got flaws.
It's got flaws. Having said that, it makes me hungry for this character.
It does.
Even if it's played by Tommy Lee Jones or someone else, yeah. I think that someone could do it, but not as well as Tommy Lee Jones. But
or Josh Brolin playing Tommy Lee Jones. Like in Men in Black 3?
No.
I just ruined the whole, spoiled the whole thing.
No. No.
All right. Go ahead. Sum up your experience in two words.
The loose deuce. This is a loose deuce.
Yeah.
I really do, because this separates everything from it involves his character.
Yeah.
So we're actually following Sam and not really Wesley Snipes' character, really.
Yeah.
It's more of that.
Yeah.
And plus, the looseness of the plot is kind of very stinky, if you know what I mean. That's my two words.
I think I'm gonna say Fugitive Light.
Yeah.
Because it's The Fugitive, but it just doesn't have the things that make me go, oh, The Fugitive. It has, like, it does have Tommy Lee Jones, and I love him, and I love the U.S. Marshall team, but I don't have the other half of that.
Right.
Which was where I was so invested in the fugitive piece of the story.
That's what,
like,
I mean.
When he comes on, like you said, I'm just kind of like, whatever. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, it shouldn't have been, it shouldn't have been not necessarily a spinoff.
Yeah.
The U.S. Marshals should have been more involved in the sequel, correct?
Yes.
But it shouldn't really focus we focus too much on that.
Yep.
To where we lose more of the plot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I tell you, too, one of the things...
So let's just put those two together.
Yeah, one of the things I like about the first one, too, is that, like, Dr. Richard Kimball is by no means this, like, super agent who, like, goes around
right.
and does whatever. Like, right.
Like, we're supposed to assume he's Bourne. Like, he's the Bourne identity, you know?
Yeah. And I'm like, and that's the thing. I'm just like, ugh. Because we have so many movies that are like that where all of a sudden somebody is like, oh, what we didn't tell you when you first got this case was that he was a secret agent who did this and this overseas.
On his side was a tow truck driver.
Yeah, right.
And as so a cover.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know. Like, I find it less enjoyable because he is so, like... Because
he's not an everyman.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
right.
That's why.
That's exactly why.
That's what the heart of The Fugitive is.
Yes.
Is that he's an everyman. They took the everyman out of him because they wanted to focus on the U.S. Marshals.
Yep.
But they lost that spark.
Yeah.
And that's where, I think that's where you're kind of going, oh, that's why.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I still think that if you enjoy The Fugitive, watch this movie.
You should. Definitely you should.
You know what I mean? I think this got kind of crapped upon a little too much.
Yeah.
I really think it was plagued with not only Titanic being in the movie theater, but Robert Downey Jr., the kind of what was going on at that time, and Wesley Snipes, too. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a lot of all that was going on, and that kind of got sidetracked, this movie, a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I honestly didn't realize it was even like a spinoff until I swear it was when it came to pay television. And I was like, I think I told my roommate at the time, I think I was like, wouldn't it be cool if that was this? I'm like, I can't believe Tommy Lee Jones is doing another one of these fugitive movies.
Right.
And I was like, wouldn't it be cool if it was the same character? And he just looked at me and goes, it is the same
character.
Yeah,
like,
and
you didn't know that?
I don't think
you can't like not watch that trailer and not know that this is a sequel to.
I don't remember his name from the first movie.
All right. So we're going to finish up our. Well, that concludes this episode, but we are going to finish up our loose deuce with This Is 40.
This Is 40, which is a spinoff of Knocked Up.
So we'll do that. But until then, the sequel.
Well, why don't we tell people where they can find us?
No.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you can I'm back find to us that old shtick.
You can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those kind of podcatchers. You can also find us at No Phony Network. The from the bottom podcast is the podcast of the month.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Nice.
So once you are there at nophonynetwork.com, check them out. They're a featured one. They are fantastic to listen to.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, make sure you get out there. If you go to iTunes and listen to us, make sure that you give us a fun rating, please.
Please. Can I say it?
Yes.
The sequel is king.